This is Harv Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast, and when I start my workday, it always begins with that morning shower. Normally, I use a liquid body wash, but recently I purchased a bar of Sterling Soap Company's handcrafted bath soap and decided to give their Deep Blue Sea handcrafted bath soap a try. Immediately, the aroma of Sterling's bath soap was obvious, and in using this soap, I felt refreshed, clean, energized, and Sterling's bath soap helped me step out of that shower with the momentum and eagerness to get my day rolling. If you want to get a refreshing wake-up call in the morning and get your busy day off to the right start, I highly recommend going to Sterling Soap Company's website and order one of their many varieties of bath soaps among other products they offer. Visit Sterling Soap Company at sterlingsoap.com. That's STIRLINGsoap.com.
Pressed by Torres, the set, the kick, and the pitch. It's deep to left field. This one may be off the wall, maybe in the screen.
Lang and Chernyshev on top as expected. They're eligible for Salt Lake City.
Indian All-Star.
Okay, it's Bill Black here with the Indian All-Stars podcast. I have the honor and the privilege of speaking with Levi Horn, the well-known in these parts anyway, football player, big star in the state of Washington, and went on and All-American honors in Montana, right? Montana University.
Yep, University of Montana. Go Grizz.
And then on to a stint in the pros. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. It's always a pleasure to go out and do this and, you know, represent indigenous people and, you know, get the message and, you know, get these kids dreaming that they can do it too.
That's the whole point. Exactly. I'm so glad to hear you say that, and that you are being so proactive in that effort. You know, when I was a kid living over here in Nespelem, it was pretty bleak, right?
Yeah.
And there was the even opportunity to dream of something like that was not really all that great. We didn't really have anybody spreading that message, right? And so that's kind of why I decided to start this whole Indian All-Stars thing, was to give kids like you and me back in the day somebody to look up to. There are lots of cool Native athletes in the past and in the present that have done some pretty cool things and have pretty cool stories to tell. So
yeah,
that's why we're here. I'd love to hear more about your journey. I know that you're Spokane kid and then went on to college. But I'll let you tell it. I'm not gonna try and give my cover.
Yeah, and you know, I have the privilege of going in honor of going around to the country and speaking to Native youth about this, and for the same exact reason that you're talking about is when I was younger, there was times where this was my dream. When I was 6 years old, I said that I wanted to go to the NFL, and everybody laughed at me. And just like it always is, and we talk about that lateral violence and actually building people up instead of laughing at them, no matter what their dreams are, you know, I really go around preaching that positivity and speaking it into existence, and how our words, no matter what we do, have energy, has medicine. And we've always known that. But like when I was 6 years old, and that's when I first had this dream of going to the NFL, there wasn't anything else that I loved to do more than to play football. Mm-hmm. In this game of football, you know, people, some think it's silly, some think it's that, this and the other, but it was really the thing that kept me going, making more right choices than wrong choices, and making those right decisions, and continually thinking and believing in myself. To get to the, by the time I was a senior, first team All-State tight end from a 1-9 team over here in Washington. Mm-hmm. The first person who's done that in 20 years from my school, and then first person in 20 years to get a scholarship to the University of Oregon. And with that, not being as well rounded socially, I was a good football player, but I didn't have these soft skills. I didn't have these coping skills that we need. You know, when you grow up in poverty and trauma, those things are a luxury. So that's what I really like to go around and teach and preach as a counselor, is those soft skills, and using my workshops and my words to help those kids who are having troubles in that way, because I lost a scholarship to the University of Oregon. You know.
Well, let me ask you about that for a second. That's I remember seeing that somewhere. Not that you lost a scholarship, but that you changed up because it was like too big of a place or something. Is that surprises me a little bit. I live here in OMAC, you know, not far from Spokane, but really tiny. And I'm a school teacher here. And you know, we have 400 kids in our school, 450 kids. Rogers High School is a bit bigger than that. And I would have thought that maybe that would have prepped you a little bit to take on the next level, but I'm just asking, it was that big of a jump?
Yeah, it was a big jump. And it's not how big the school is. I mean, I coming from a single mother, trying to keep food on the table, lights mm-hmm. on, and you know, she got to worry about her other children, grandchildren, and other family members. And you know, it's a, just that constant trauma, always something going on. And did I listen to her? You know, that's another thing is, you know, it's one of the reasons why I loved my coaches and my mentors that I had that tried to give me all. But, you know, when you're not willing to listen and apply these things, you know, it falls on deaf ears. And sadly, me as a high school senior, I didn't think I was too good because I got the scholarship to the University of Oregon. I was so scared because I got the scholarship to the University of Oregon.
Okay.
It wasn't ego. It was more lack of ego and lack of self-confidence.
Okay.
Where I wasn't picking up the things that I should, getting ready to apply them, believing in myself. It was more the self-doubt and the failure part, because I didn't have these things, now that I look back, that really got me.
Okay. That's pretty insightful. I mean, 20, you know, hindsight's 20/20, sure, but even to be able to feel that at the time and be able to take action on it too. So, So then,
I go, they asked me to transfer. So yeah, they didn't say online that they were going to cut me, but they go, you can transfer or we'll cut you. So I picked transfer. And I got to go to the University of Montana, which was a great fit for me. It was more blue collar. It was really nice to go around and see other Native Americans walking around campus. It was awesome to have Native American professors. All of these things helped build confidence within myself. I had other Native friends. And so all these things, it was just really what was supposed to happen. And I talk about failure, and I talk to kids about failure is okay. Failure is okay as long as we learn from it. Right. Now, the real failure would have been me just going back home and living my life and saying, it was good that I got there. University of Oregon, I got there. Everybody's hats off to me. You failed. This is probably where you should be, Levi. But no, I was like, failure is okay as long as we learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I got to have a awesome career over there. You know, plenty of obstacles to overcome there and stumbling blocks. But again, learning from all those things to being able to set myself up when I'm a redshirt junior, where I was first team Big Sky. Or maybe I just hit the Big Sky and then I hit maybe honorable mention my junior year Big Sky. And then my senior year being first team all Big Sky. And then a first team All-American and a third team All-American my senior year, left tackle for a 51-6 school.
Yeah, that's quite an accomplishment in and of itself. I know that in your tenure there, they really had a powerhouse going, and that was pretty cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So then taking your momentum and your skill level onto the next step, tell me a little bit about that.
So yeah, that's when after everything came, it was, you know, it was pretty scary, another scary time in my life, but I kind of knew, like, you know, here's my resume. This is what people think about me. Recruiters definitely, they don't shy away from telling you the truth. So I knew I wasn't going to be drafted, but I knew Mike Tice. He came over to University of Montana. I flew out there a couple times. We built this relationship. So I knew after the draft was going to be over that I was going to sign with the Chicago Bears.
Uh-huh.
And going into that is, you can get caught up with the numbers, especially you being an undrafted free agent. They got 15 spots. We got 8 vets right here that are,
sure,
you know, ones and twos. We got a couple practice squad spots. And you're like, geez, we got 22 guys right here.
Yep.
Yeah. So, it was just one of those things where playing for the University of Montana, playing for Bobby Houck, just be a hard worker. Be a hard worker. I never walked on the field. I'd always shut it down right when I got to the sideline, and it was that type of thing that helped me beat out other people from bigger programs,
mm-hmm.
People who played longer than me. That's one thing Mike Tice would always joke about. He goes, Levi, I don't know about your talent, but he goes, I can never doubt you. I can never doubt your effort.
What a great compliment. Right? I mean, because that's the one thing that you can do something about is your effort.
I like to tell the kids that too, is God-given effort. I was maybe a C minus, maybe a C, God-given talent. But I know every day that I brought my effort to practice, stayed before practice, after practice, you know, trying everything I can do to get better. And it really counts a lot when it comes to sports and coaching.
Yeah, that's so true. One really good takeaway: don't give up on the effort. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so as a little side note, there's all these new football leagues popping up left and right, seems like, right? I know you played a little bit in the AFL too, right?
Yeah.
And what do you think about the opportunities for these new other leagues? And do you think, you know, 5-10 years ago, it'd be something that you have looked at trying to get back in with? Or I'm just asking, as a guy and a football fan and somebody that always thought that.
Yeah, after the NFL, I wanted to be done because my body was done, my knees were done. But at the point in time, somebody had a job for me, and that job fell through. And the only thing that I could do was to go play football. So I had all these coaches saying, hey, Levi, you want to come out? You want to come out? And I was like, I got to the point where I was like, all right, I got to go earn a check. So that's kind of where I got into AFL and arena. And that was just to earn, because that's what I've done my whole entire life.
Sure.
Coming out with like the XFL now and the way that they've got that set up and going, and USFL, you know, I think it's great. It gives these chances. There's so many other sports that have so many different chances for guys to get better, polish up. So why not? Why not give them a chance? And why not give us a chance so I don't have to watch baseball and basketball?
I'm with you on that. Yeah. All right. I was just wondering. So now tell us all a little bit about what you're currently doing. You know, you're going around motivational speaking and that kind of stuff. Give us a pep talk.
Yeah. So one of my mentors and bros from Fort Belknap, Terry Brocky, he was like, hey man, we got to get you out here and speak to kids. And I was like, told him my story, I was like, why would anybody want to hear this? This is depressing. And then he goes, this is, these kids need to hear this, because they got to give them hope that they can do it. And I was like, and you know, I was a junior, I think, in college. So, you know, I wasn't definitely like thinking like that, like, and especially me dealing with my trauma at that point in time and figuring myself out and trying to heal myself. Mm-hmm. But the speaking really helped heal me as I told my story over and over again. And I got this reaction from these kids that came up to me and said, hey man, I'm going through that same stuff right now, or I went through that same stuff, and I'm trying to get up there. And I'm like, hey man, go to counseling, ask for help, be okay with that. You know, it really inspired me to continue doing this. I've been doing it since I think 2009 now, kind of as the side gig. Whenever anybody asks me, I go up there. So I try to do it once or twice a month, as I have my full time gig. When I got back here to Spokane, I think 2016, I got youth into youth leadership programs, and I ran those for a couple of years. And then I ran in, then I got the opportunity to be a drug and alcohol counselor. So I took that. Mm-hmm. After college and after football, I don't say no to opportunity. And that's what I try to tell these kids. If there's an opportunity for you and there's somebody's going to ask you to do something, say yes. Say yes, it's important. So there's a while there where I said yes to any opportunity creator brought, and until my bucket got too full. And then sure. I was like, okay, now I gotta slow it down a little bit. I gotta make sure that what I'm doing, I'm putting myself into, and I'm doing it correctly. I'm kind of at that spot right now where I'm checking out what I'm doing and maybe cutting some fat. Because I want to do everything wholeheartedly, right? I want to give everything good effort. But so So after drug, I went through drug and alcohol school. It was awesome. I love counseling. It's something that I still want to do, still be a part of. So after 5 years of counseling, I stepped back from that. I'm in a academic support role at my alma mater here in Spokane.
That's cool.
So I help kids socio and emotionally. And then if they need help in anything, we try to get an academic plan going for them. And this is where, you know, I'm not going to be doing all the paperwork as counseling. So I want to hop back into school, get my master's in high school counseling. That's what I'm kind of pointing towards. And as I do that, I go out and speak, do motivational speaking. I do workshops. A lot of it, I kind of merged what I didn't have when I was younger and then what I'd learned mm-hmm. as a counselor, and brought them all together and then deliver them in a traditional, in an indigenous way, for our kids. That's kind of my favorite thing to do, is do this workshop. We go through attitude, goals, motivation, positive self-talk, mental imagery, meditation, dealing with emotions, and all the way up there, and we end with confidence.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long does that process take? Is that, surely so that would all fit like one school assembly, right?
So yeah, I mean, a lot of times they do want me to do it in one school assembly, but I'm like, I need like 2 hours. Okay. I would really like 2 days and two sessions for about an hour and 15 minutes a piece.
Sure.
Just so I can get the feedback and the participation of the audience so they can really learn from it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's about a 2 hour process. And I get a lot of good reviews from it. The kids like it. They go, parents and teachers and mentors, they tell us what to do, but this kind of tells you why we do it. Why it's important to have a positive attitude.
Okay. Yeah. It's interesting perspective, but I can see how that would be the case. Do this, but not why. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let me ask you, do you have like a life motto or a go-to saying, or, you know, when you got to dig down deep, something that motivates you that you say?
Yeah. So when it was football time, you know, those days I talk about the grind, because things aren't fun all the time.
Right.
It could be your dream. It could be your love. It can be anything, but it's not going to be fun all the time. And I tell these kids, it's not a TikTok world. This doesn't happen overnight. It took me 17 years from when I said I wanted to go to the NFL to get to the NFL.
Yeah.
And when those days got hard, because I wanted to, you know, there's nights where my body hurts so bad, I can quit. I can leave whenever I want to. They're not going to care. They're not going to chase me down. And, you know, it was just something that this motto that I had, I go through that in the training too. I'm like, what's your motto? What's going to get you through the grind? What's going to get you through the hard part? And mine was always, this is what I do. This is what I do. I'd put my helmet down, I'd start running on that field, and I'd be waiting to take coaching. And, you know, in that short sentence, this is what I do. I did it for the team on my chest. I did it for the name on the back. I did it for Northern Cheyenne Nation. I did it for all Montana natives. I did it for indigenous people everywhere, so that they can believe that they can do whatever they want to do, no matter how hard it is, how many people laughed at them, or how impossible it seems. You know, I got in a Chicago Bears jersey. I rep that, and they can do it too.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, good. I always love to hear what people lean on in those tough times. And it's what you do. That's great. I love it. Mm-hmm. So who did you have, somebody that was like your one major influence in your life that helped you get to where you are?
And so, of course, like I want to say, like, I mean, seeing my mom grind her whole life and be in the hub of her family, while having her problems, her issues, and taking care of her kids and sometimes other people's kids and loving me every day. I mean, that's she's my rock.
Sure.
The one thing that I love about this sport is how many people it puts in front of you. And I tell them, I go, sometimes the person who's best for you is the person that you don't like, or the person that just made you run.
Yeah.
But I go, they're there for you. Think of why the creator put that person in your way, in your path. But, you know, so coming up from freshman, you know, I've always been that kid who, like, did I do a good job? You know, did I get that pat on the back? So every year that I went from even youth baseball, because I played more baseball than I did football because I was too big, you know, it was always my coach. And I've always had a coach.
That seems fair, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't get to play football till my ninth grade year. Wow. But I played baseball since I think I was about 8 years old. And, every time that coach was there and every time that coach was watching, a lot of them were my my friend's dads. So it was always just that constant presence of that coach, that person that I know was looking out for me and that wanted me to do better. Mm-hmm. I'm still in touch with my college coaches. I'm still in touch with Mike Tice. These guys were just people that, you know, we had a real good bond, and it's, you know, it was an honor to have them in my life. And mm-hmm. it's really why I work back at my high school. That's why I coach, head freshman coach. That's why I go out and do all the, whenever anybody asks me, I go out there and do it, because I told Creator, I go, this is my real prayer when I was at the University of Oregon, and I was probably depressed, you know, had some mental health issues going on, but I go, Creator, if you give me to the NFL, I'll do whatever you want me to do.
And now you're on the hook.
Yeah, so I'm on the hook. I gotta fulfill my part of the prayer. So that's why I do what I do. I better myself so I can go out there and do more work and this and that. And that's what pushes me.
Well, that's all honorable stuff, my friend. That is, you're being true to your word on that. That's fabulous.
Yes.
A great example. Usually I have a big old long list of questions. A lot of them are kind of dumb, but I just wanted to have you be able to talk a little bit. Is there something that I didn't ask you that you wish I would have?
There was another thing that I like to say too. And you know, one of my first dreams was to go to the NFL, mm-hmm. but there was also something else, and having a single mother, and I challenge the kids, just because I didn't have a father didn't mean I can be a bad father. And that was my motto for football when I was, you know, out there, just me by myself on the field. This is what I do. But now it's like, this is what I do for my family, and this is what I do for other youth, you know, is giving back. And that's what we have to do. We have to build each other up. I have some great mentors and buddies that are out there in the speaking world too, and I'm very blessed to have those guys. And those guys are like, hey, Levi. And I go, hey, you. And hey, let's come together. Let's do this. Maybe you should do this. Maybe I should do that. And sharing resources, you know, you see a lot of people just being stingy and, you know, hoping other people do bad. So, you know, maybe they can have more. Yeah. It's really this sense of community that we need to get back to. We're all tribal people. We all had that job to get through that winter, mm-hmm. to get through that drought. And we all asked for help, and it was common. That was our practice to survive. And now we try to do it all by ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's where we see this mental health. We see this addiction. When we try to do this by ourselves, you lose a scholarship to the University of Oregon. But when you start accepting help, you become first team All-American at the University of Montana, and you start building your team up. And, you know, life is just a little bit easier when we're in it together.
That is so true. And what a great analogy that is, because you pay attention, you listen, and you accept the help that's offered. Suddenly it's easier because we're all rowing in the same direction, right? Yeah.
Yep. And that's, you know, that's kind of what I get out there, talk about, do goals. You know, I just want to thank everybody out there that helped me, and hopefully somebody can see this and maybe I'll start a little fire on, get them going in the right direction.
That's all we can hope for. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule, and hopefully we'll be able to catch up a little bit down the road and check in and see what other cool stuff you're doing. As this whole thing develops, this is episode number 3. So we're just starting out.
awesome. Yeah. And if I just give a shout out, Levi.Horn79 on Instagram, Levi Horn on Facebook, Levi.Horn, LeviHorn.com. There's all my booking information up there. If on Facebook, just message me. If you're a youth, you have a question, if you want to get a hold of me, if anybody has a question, always respond back. That's part of my duty, I feel. But I would definitely love to be able to come to your area, come speak at your workshop, your conference, or whatever you guys got going on. So, yep, get at me, and love to get to your community soon.
Okay. I'll post those links in the YouTube notes and stuff too. So it should be easily accessible for them too.
All right. Sounds good, my man. Thank you.
All right, Levi. Thanks a lot, my friend. Appreciate it.
No problem. See you.
Take care.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history. But as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.